The shares you are about to hear were recorded at the first anniversary of the Plymouth NE N2 Action Group. The first speaker is Mark A.
And, you know, I'd love to be a part of it whenever possible. Driven down from London today with some of my home group. It's been a good day, and I can say that honestly. Since I found this program, I haven't had a bad day. My life is completely turned around since I started taking guidance and working this program and putting my recovery first. I'll tell you a little bit about myself before I found the program. As far back as my memory serves me, I was too strong-willed, had too much pride and arrogance for my own good. You know, it got me in a lot of trouble. And caused a lot of heartache to those that loved me, the people that cared about me. And, you know, as the years went on, and I first found drugs, it was inevitable that I was going to take them. It was in my makeup. You know, doing things that I always wanted to do, that curiosity, and the fact that it was illegal made it even more exciting. You know, I was never one for complying, and doing as I was told was something that just didn't happen with me. I've always done what I wanted to do, and, you know, that was my downfall. I found that later in life. As, you know, in my early teens, that's when I picked up drugs, and there was some enjoyment. You know, I had some pleasure, you know, some euphoric moments, and experimenting with this and that. And, you know, what was a weekend habit, you know, quickly turned into a full-blown obsession, you know, and that was without me making any, you know, conscious decision, or it wasn't a deliberate act on my part, you know, it just happened. And that was to be my life for the next 20 years. Taking drugs, you know, finding ways and means to get them on a daily basis. And the enjoyment went. There was no enjoyment. It was just a downhill path from then on. And I was completely powerless. I didn't have any choice anymore. You know, that obsession was with me from the moment I woke up and until I fell asleep and woke up the next day and it was back. And there was nothing I could do about it. And in that time, I was, you know, in my early 20s, I didn't really take it that seriously. You know, I hadn't really had any major consequences occur in my life as a result of taking drugs. And I made resolutions. I'll carry on like this. And, you know, when I hit 25 or on my birthday or Christmas or come the new year, I'll stop. I thought in my arrogance that I still had some control over it, even though, you know, the first thing I thought of when I woke up in the morning was drugs. And the last thing at night was, have I got any for the morning, or what have I got to do tomorrow to get some more? Because I couldn't live. I couldn't live or cope with life and be around people. I couldn't go to work, be around my family. I just couldn't be around people in any situation without being on drugs. Drugs took away that fear that was with me all the time. It made me feel comfortable in situations that I just felt uncomfortable all the time. You know, drugs straightened me out. They were my solution. It was the best thing I could come up with. You know, and when I didn't have them, you know, I was a clumsy, awkward Frank Spencer type character. You know, and as soon as I've taken drugs, I could cope. You know, all that anxiety and, you know, fear, it just left me. You know, and I could talk to people. I felt a part of the situation that I was in, and very often I went overboard, you know, without really meaning to, and upsetting a lot of people, you know, by going too far. I didn't know where to draw the line, and making a fool of myself and embarrassing my family, you know, at different, you know, weddings, christenings, and there was no real enjoyment to be had, you know, there was no fun at all. Like I say, I was completely powerless, you know. I was in a firm grip, you know, of a of this disease of addiction. I didn't know that at the time, obviously, but in hindsight, I can see it. I was in this tight grip, and I just didn't know how to get out of it. And over the years, I've tried various, attempts to quit. Home detox. That was never going to happen. That was a nightmare. That was never going to happen. And out of desperation, I went to various institutions, rehabilitation centres, treatment centres, whatever they're called. I don't know the difference. All I know is when I come out of my youth, they didn't work for me. An addict to my description, is an addict where I start. I can't stop. I can't stop thinking about drugs. As soon as I've got a drug in my body, I'm craving. I'm fearful. Where's the next one coming from? What have I got to do tomorrow? And I learned in this program that when I came here out of desperation, the only thing that's going to remove that obsession is a power greater than myself, because that was my problem. I lacked the power. The luxury of choice had left me a long, long time ago. And Plymouth was home for me for a year, and I came down here to go to one of the local facilities down here, and I remember the day I was leaving, and it was my day of release, and the counsellor saying, and me going up to the counsellor and begging. I was begging the fella to let me stay, and because I knew that as soon as I go out that door, I will use, because that's been my experience. Whenever I've been left to my own devices, that's what I do. And again, it's not through choice. I want to reiterate that it's not through choice. It's because I'm completely powerless, and my life comes unmanageable to the max every time I put a chemical in my body. And it just brings misery and pain, and for me and anyone that is in my path. But today it's very different. After going to lots of meetings in this town and not hearing the solution, there were a lot of people sharing their misery, and people bursting out in tears and chatting about all sorts of problems. And then, in addition to that, me asking a fella to sponsor me. I went up to a guy because I heard that sponsorship was, where it starts. And I went up to a fellow and asked him to sponsor me, and he said, yeah, I'll take you on. And the only thing that we had in common was we come from the same town originally. And he said, yeah, I'll take you on and all that. And I said, right, fantastic. I felt a little moment of relief. It lasted about 2 seconds. And I said to him, okay, so when do I phone you then? He said, Sundays. Give me a ring on Sundays. So I thought, okay. Sunday came, and he's asked me, how are you feeling and all that. And I'm a mix, really, because I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing anything. How am I going to feel any different? Because nothing's changed. And he said to me, I said to him, okay, Sundays. And I said, what about the steps? And as he's walking away from me, and his voice is getting fainter and fainter, he says to me, there's bags of time for the steps. Don't worry about that. Well, I'll tell you what, about 10 days later, I'm stuck in my little room in Austell, just down the road there, for 2 days, in total isolation. I haven't seen a soul. In total fear and self-pity, negotiating my move back to London. And a couple of fellas came around that day, and it wasn't a textbook or a classic 12-step call, but they did talk some sense into me, and told me of a meeting, that where people were getting well, where people were working this program, and I went up there, and I took a seat, and I sat back and just listened. I didn't open my mouth for the first time in my life, and I just sat back and listened, and I was inspired by what I heard that night. I did get hope. I really, really did. And I went up to a fella at the end of the meeting and asked for his sponsorship. I was attracted to what the fella said, he gave me suggestions to do. Initially he said to me, are you prepared to put your recovery first? Are you prepared to do whatever it takes to recover? This is a serious business. For the first time in my life, I needed to stop taking the mickey, and that was quick. And and through those practical actions that he gave me to do each day, I've had the privilege of working through the 12 steps of this program, and I continue to live on the 12 steps of this program, and my life is completely turned around. I owe my life to this fellowship. I no longer live my way. I live the NA way. I take guidance from my sponsor. My life is totally unmanageable and I needed a new manager. And he's put me on the right road. I've been able to put the past behind me. I haven't shut the door on it, you know, but I don't live in it. You know, with this programme, as I say, it never ceases to amaze me. My life has got better and better and better as each day passes. Not each year, you know, each day passes, I find more enjoyment, more freedom, more peace of mind, and it all comes about by thinking about others, working with other people, you know, not thinking about what I can get. And material things don't come into the equation at all. It doesn't matter what I've got around me, whether I'm in a, you know, people around me, it doesn't make any difference. It's how I feel inside. And how I feel inside is by what I do. I can make a decision today, how my life's going to be. That's an absolute miracle, to be able to do that from an addict that was completely useless, with no point or no direction or meaning to life, to be able to say that I've got a choice in my life today. I'm a happy individual, my life is getting better. I like being me, I don't have to pretend to be somebody else or impress anybody, but I will say from that moment of inspiration I had in that, you know, that meeting, by working this program and getting the results, it totally impressed me. I was impressed by the results because I thought it would be human beings, treatment centres and all that nonsense that was going to sort me out. I really did. But this program is so simple, it never ceases to amaze me, as I've said. And all I did was what I was told for the first time in my life. You know, and I'm so grateful for the sponsor that I chose. Well, I don't think I chose him, the sponsor that I've got, because he's never sold me short. You know, I didn't always get my own way, and that's what I needed. Because if I got my own way all the time, nothing would have changed. And I'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Mark. Thank you.
I'll hand you over to Jackie now.
My name's Jackie. I'm an addict. It's a real pleasure to be sat here, to be sharing on the year birthday of this meeting, of this group. And it is. It's a miracle. It's here that I found recovery. I found a solution. You know, I didn't walk in. I found NA 5 years ago, and I didn't come to these meetings, as it says in the literature, brimming with love, with any honesty or open-mindedness or much willingness, really. You know, I was very angry. I was full of hate, and I wasn't that honest. I was quite dishonest. And I wasn't that open-minded. I was a bit willing, you know. But when I came to these meetings, I looked around and I wasn't impressed. I was angry and I didn't want to be like everybody in it. I didn't want to be like any of you lot or what I am. I didn't want to be an addict. I didn't want to accept. I didn't have come to terms with step one. But as it says, you know, in the other literature, I've got, I'm irritable, I'm restless and discontent. I was like this before I picked up drugs. And my drug use, this is an illness of three conditions and it's physical, as Mark's described really well, you know. As soon as I picked up, I'd have this sort of compulsion to use. The mental part of it, I couldn't stop. I had I had this compulsion, obsession to use, and I had no spiritual defense. And I didn't want to accept that I had an incurable disease at all. I just wanted to come here and not use drugs, and that was it. And it took me 5 years really of hanging about in meetings. Not sort of understanding, not picking up the solution, not getting a message, and I struggled with it for a long time. I struggled with step one. as it also says in the literature, you know, I had to, in step one, I had to learn to live this program. I can't just say the words. And I feel, which is why it's really important, which is why this group is important for me. This is a strong meeting, a traditional meeting. And really, that's where I was impressed. That's where, you know, when I first came to this meeting, I not only heard the solution, I saw people live it. And then that gave me a lot more hope and an openness to sort of maybe, perhaps, this could work for me. And I became a lot more willing. And that's what impressed me. And that this is where my recovery began, almost a year ago. And I take it really seriously, you know, it's sort of 5 years. 5 years I was messing about, trying. I think I had good intentions, you know, part of, two parts of step one, you know, part of me hadn't quite understood, you know, I knew I'd sort of, drugs had become a problem, but, you know, I didn't really sort of want to accept that my life had become unmanageable. But, you know, when I knew and I got to that desperate place and knew things had to change, I knew this problem was within me and that, you know, I had to have a change in thought and attitude. I hung around meetings and didn't know, couldn't see nothing, didn't know quite how to do this. And it was only until I came to my home group, this meeting, that I could actually see that and see that and hear that people were not only passing on a very traditional 12-step solution, but they were living it. And I felt safe. I could walk in that meeting and I felt extremely safe and felt that this may work for me. And it was really easy. Once I had those feelings, all I had to do from that moment was I got a sponsor and I was guided through the 12 steps. I was given a simple set of instructions that I had to do. And I was willing to do this. And from that moment, my life changed really quickly. You know, from the moment that I managed to sort of become willing and open to the 12 steps through traditional good guidance, good sponsorship, my life just turned around and it's been amazing. And I've not had a bad day either. You know, some days aren't as good as others, but every day just gets better. And I live this program today, you know, and it gets easier. I wake up and I still do the suggestions. You know, I get down on my knees and I pray to God. I hand my will and my life over to God. I ring newcomers up and I write a gratitude list. You know, as it says, it's an incurable, fatal, progressive illness, and that's what I have. Today I have a simple solution, a 12-step program to live. I have a daily reprieve, but this is really serious stuff, and I think I've found gold dust, you know. I'm just grateful that I'm in this meeting today because, and in my home group today, a good strong meeting because for me that's where recovery started. And I understand, I have an understanding of my addiction today and I know it's serious stuff and I treat my recovery very seriously. I enjoy my life today and have a lot of fun, but my recovery and the 12-step program comes first. I owe my life to it. You know, I have a fantastic life today. What I've got today is all through work in the 12 steps. I've learned to be honest with not only other people around me, but with myself. I've learned how to have friendships. You know, I didn't know how to treat people. I mean, I didn't know how to treat myself, but I didn't know how to relate with people before. I can look at people in the eye today and talk to people and feel that I'm on the same level as people. I feel like that I've got a lot to offer. I've got a lot to offer myself and others, which is essential for someone of my condition because at the core of my disease is my self-centeredness. I mean, it says in the NA text again, you know, that was the spiritual malady. It's my self-centeredness. And I know that. I can feel, you know, through my experiences, I've got a true understanding of the seriousness of my condition. But it's just, thank you, it's just amazing that I have this solution. And today I do, you know, I belong here and it feels good. I don't battle with coming here. I don't think, oh no, I've got to do meeting or no, I've got to do this. I really enjoy it. I welcome it. And it's here for anyone and everyone. It's so simple. If I could do it, anyone can do it. And it's free. And the, you know, I've searched for years through different circumstances, different drugs to find a peace of mind. That peace of mind is recovery, and I found it. And it's wonderful. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thanks.
I'll hand you over to Simon.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Simon. I'm an addict. Firstly, thanks very much for asking me to share. I consider it an honour to be part of this 15-minute, and congratulations on the club on birthday. It really is something special. I'm a free man, say it today. I am no longer bound by the shackles of my thinking. No longer. It's funny, I was driving down here tonight in my car, and every time I go under a bridge, and sometimes I get a fleeting glimpse, and I remember when I used to be, before I did what I'm doing now, and even when I was clean, I never thought I was mad. And yet I'd have thoughts about driving my car into one of the bridges on the street as I was driving along the motorway. Now, if that wasn't madness, I didn't know what was. But that was my thing. I didn't know I was mad. I wouldn't accept that I was an addict. I wouldn't, even with all the using that I've done. My using was much the same as anybody else's. I won't say it brought me to my knees. It made my life very unmanageable and uncomfortable, and I was crazy because of it, and there were lots of consequences because of it, but it wasn't that brought me to my knees. It wasn't that. I went into a treatment centre. I got clean because it was what other people thought I should do, and I always thought I was very good at, well, I always, like somebody next to me said the other night, I always did what I did, but I always tried doing what I wanted to do, but by making you think that I was doing what you wanted me to do as well. So I went into a treatment centre and got clean. Came out of a treatment centre, moved to a place and went to NA meetings, and automatically with that attitude of indifference and intolerance straight away, I didn't hear no message. I didn't want to hear one, you know what I mean? I just wanted to be clean, and I wanted to have all the benefits that came with that. If you had a nice new pair of trainers, you had a nice car, you had a gorgeous looking missus, then you were a friend to me. In our reading it says it don't matter what you have, your connections were. Now to me it did. Because it was all about surface and shadow for me. It was all about that. And I didn't yet understand the seriousness of my condition. I didn't. And I carried on doing that. Still wasting around. Went to meetings just to brag about how good my day was, how crap my day was. How much you were to blame for that. And all the rest of it, what my latest obsession was. And at 2 years, I realised what being an addict meant. At 2 years of being absent without a program in my life, I realised what being an addict meant. Those moments of doom that I had when I was using were on me every day. At just over 24 months clean, I woke up every day with my head in my hands, wondering what I was doing wrong. I had a nice career ahead of me. I was at college. I had a nice car. I had a nice relationship. I had a flat full of nice things. And yet I couldn't work out what I was doing wrong. Just didn't know what was wrong with me. I was lost, you know. I still thought I was different. I still had that attitude of indifference and intolerance, and especially to people in this, members of this own group. I really did. You guys had something that I didn't want. You guys meant that I wouldn't be able to have fun, and I didn't want that. And I was bone idle, is what I was. I wanted all the benefits of what being clean meant, but I didn't want any of the leg to have to put any of the legwork in. My experience of sponsorship was exactly the same. I had a sponsor. I picked him because he was 10 years clean. He had the most amount of clean time around the area where I lived, and I wanted everybody to know I had the cleanest sponsor that was around. And I was given a book and told to go away and get on with it. Spoke to him once every 2 weeks, and every time I spoke to him, how are you? Exactly the same as Mark. My head's in bits. You know what I mean? This has happened. She done this, he done that, she done this, he done that. I was angry at the world and everybody in it. But when that moment came upon me, when nothing that I did made me feel any better, not even for the slightest minute, I knew I had to do something. I wanted to die, and I wanted to use, and I knew I didn't want to do both because of the consequences, because of what would happen to them. So I knew I had to get sponsorship. I thought I would try this NA thing. Okay. So I came to a meeting in Plymouth. It wasn't this one, but by some act of God, the guy that I did ask to sponsor me gave me the same set of instructions that I follow today. And that night, my life changed. My thinking changed that night. That the moment the guy said, okay, I'll sponsor you, this is what I want you to do, I felt as if I felt hope for the first time. Proper hope for the first time in my life. I felt like I can do this. There is a light at the end of that tunnel. And I started getting results very quickly. Very quickly. I'm an addict and I need to see results. I've been around for 2 years without any sort of program. Yeah, I mean, now if this thing's going to work, it better start working now, because I'm in pain, and if it don't, I ain't going to want to know. I'm going to go back out there and use. So I need to have this work for me. And it did, you know. And it changed. You know, I was amazed with the results. In fact, so amazed with the results that I tried to go back to my own group and drag everybody down here to grab a piece of it. And I was later told off by my sponsor for doing that. But the change in thought that I had by doing the suggestions that was given to me, that came out of the basic text. You know, I mean, like Jackie said, this is a traditional meeting because it sticks to traditions. You know, and that's the difference, you know. I stick to what's in the literature today. I do what my sponsor tells me. And by the grace of God, the same people I try to go back and drag down here now follow the same path that I follow. And it's that I'm grateful for. And it's 95% of my own group members are in this room tonight. And it's that I'm grateful for. That it's the results that speak. It's the results that are shown. You know, it's that attracted. It wasn't, no, actually online. It wasn't that attracted me to the guy asked me to be my sponsor. I could have asked Joe Bloggs on the street. I just wanted an end to the pain that I was in, you know. But it's that I believe that why people get on board this thing, because they can see the results. I didn't have any results doing what I was doing beforehand. The only way I got results in this program is by putting it into action. It's by sponsorship steps and service. That's what I did, and it's amazing. From going from the person that I was, I used for 15 years, didn't use for 2, still didn't think that he needed a program, still thought it was all about what I had, how much I had, who I was with, who I was hanging around with, how much money I had, you know, and how much kudos I had, how cool. Our book calls it Terminal Hip and Fatal Cool, our book calls it, and that's what I had. I needed to get through that, you know. I needed to smash that intolerance and indifference. I know that the people that were in this meeting were no different than me. I was afraid. Is what I was, and more to the point, I was jealous because they had something I didn't want, you know. And it was then when I had that willingness that I needed to put in that action for me to get it. And life's fantastic. Bad days, I laugh in the face of bad days. You know, I don't have a bad day. I may have days where things don't go my way, but that's life. It's going to happen. But the first thought in my head isn't, right, I'm going to use it because I can't do that. It isn't. And that's the miracle. That's the change in thought and attitude that I've got, that this program has given me. You know, I think, okay, bad day, big deal. You know, I crack on with what I do. I write more gratitude lists. I'll phone up another newcomer. And that's it. And it's amazing. It's in this room. If you really want to know freedom, like I have experienced, then get a sponsorship, work the steps, and do service. For an addict of my description, it was the only thing, and it is the only thing, that keeps me free from the insane thinking that makes me want to drive at 90 miles an hour into bridges on motorways. You know, I haven't got much more to say, really. That's, everything's been said tonight, and it's just sponsorship, steps and service. I'm a free man. I no longer want to use, and I no longer want to hurt people. I just want to help people. Thank you.
That's Simon. I'll hand it over to Julian now.
I'm Julian, and I'm an addict.
I'm Julian.
Welcome. You know, if your problems have become astonishingly difficult to solve, I identify, you know, that was my experience. You know, if you find it difficult to picture a future, either with or without drugs, I identify, you know, that was my experience. You know, that was how I felt when I got here. You know, I was bereft and I was desperate, and I was I don't know, was I looking for a solution? I was looking for, I think, an end to my misery. But for a long time, I'd come to understand that I hadn't been using drugs because I got anything out of them. I'd been using drugs because they were the best answer to life that I'd ever found on my own. They were the only thing, the only answer to the condition that I walked around with, the profound self-centeredness that I suffered from, the fact that I could never step out of my own fear and worries. You know, I was always encircled by my own fears and worries. And as I went through life, drugs were the only way I had of facing it. So I continued to use them. No, of course they didn't work brilliantly at the end, but it really was the, you know, the, I was a person that needed to use. So to suggest to me that I needed to put them down was like kicking a crutch away. Of course, you know, I wasn't going to do it. Not without a solution, I wasn't going to do it. I was always, I was capable, I don't know if anyone else identifies with this, but I've always been capable of stepping away from drugs for a time. I had a history of moving to the edge of a precipice, looking over, thinking, oh dear God, and running back again. That's not recovery for me. That's my using history. I have a history of looking over the edge, running for cover, and then just running back to the edge again as soon as I feel better. You know, that's not recovery, and quite often that's what I hear masquerading as recovery. It isn't. It's part of my using history. It says in the green and gold, in the NA text, that many of us recall our moment of clarity. Many of us recall that moment when we found ourselves looking clearly in the face of our disease. We finally saw ourselves and what we had become. And this is what happened to me, you see. It happened to me, and I think this is so important, it happened to me before I ever met a sponsor, you know, before I ever came back to the rooms. I had some experience of meetings, but I came back to the rooms and found a sponsor. But before I did that, something happened, you see. And in the book, it's clearly described as step one. I understood what I had become. I understood where my misery was rooted. I saw it clearly for myself, you see. I know that given a million years, my sponsor could never have convinced me of what I had become, because I would rigorously defend myself. I was geared up. I'd spent years lying about myself because I was ashamed of my behaviour, essentially, and I built up a system of lies to protect myself from the truth. And I was not in acquaintance with the truth when I got here. To tell me the truth was to invite an argument. It was to invite an argument. It simply, there was no point. You'd be wasting your time, and I would advise you still today, you know, if I begin to do it to you, move on to someone who's ready. Move on to someone who's ready to listen to something different, okay? Because you can't convince an addict of anything. It wasn't possible to convince me of anything. I had this moment of clarity, this step one moment, and of course that is described in the step one section of Green and Gold. It works how and why. I had this moment of clarity. I understood how I'd ruined my own life. I understood that I had the lion's share of the responsibility for my own misery. It came to me, you see, in a moment of clarity, whilst I was still using. And I came back with this in my pocket, you see. I came back into the room, and that's why I believe today I've been successful. Because with me, I brought the essential tool for sponsorship. I brought an understanding that I needed to change. And every time, you see, from that point on, my sponsor said to me things that I wasn't really keen to hear. Of course I listened. Of course I listened because I wanted to change. I wanted to change. And, you know, and it, to be honest, I hear this stuff about tough sponsors, hard sponsors, you know. It wasn't my experience, you know. If my sponsor had to be tough with me, I'd be dead. My sponsor didn't have to be tough with me. All he had to do is let me know what to do, and I was ready to do it. We cannot fight people in this fellowship. It tells me, the AA literature actually tells me, that I have to give up fighting anything and everybody. Okay, and that includes, in their case, alcohol. In my case, drugs and alcohol. You know, I have to give up fighting. I don't stay clean by resisting the temptation to use drugs, and I don't recover by reluctantly following my sponsor's suggestions. I recovered by embracing my sponsor's suggestions, because I knew, you see, wherever he took me, it had to be better than where I was. If that's not the case for you, then, you know, really I don't bless you, but I'm not sure that you need to be here. You know, if you've got anything to lose by listening to experience, I'm not sure you need to be here. I'm not. If if getting to the meeting on time to do a commitment here is taking you away from something more important, then for God's sake, don't come. Go and deal with what's more important. Please, I beg you, because you'll spoil the meeting for me. Your presence will spoil the meeting for me. We recover here in unity because those who stay know they need to be here. You know, the minute I fall into convincing somebody I'm with that they need to be here on time is the minute I feel like suggesting, you probably don't. You probably don't. Because the truth is, in my experience, it's a big meeting, you see. And statistically, I know this is, people hate this, but statistically, you see, a good third of us are not going to make it. And of that third, it'll be some of them. Some of the people that are going to sound really hot tonight. A good third of us are not going to make it. If that isn't the case, then the statistics are wrong. So the odds are against me. I have to understand this. The odds are against me before I start. Statistically, most don't make it. So I have to be determined to be one. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. And I embraced the things that I was asked to do, and I insisted on enjoying life. And when the self-pity started to creep in, as I was warned that it would, I kicked it out. I kicked it out because the literature also talks about the proper use of the will. All my life I've been driven by self-will towards destructive ends. I was instructed by experience that I could use that same will to move myself towards positive ends, to move myself towards following the suggestions. And I go to other meetings. I go to other meetings and I'm constantly hearing people talking about difficulties that they are having that I was warned about 10 years ago. And I think, what a shame for you. What a shame for you, because my sponsor warned me about that 10 years ago, and he also warned me how to avoid it. You see, what a shame. What a waste of time. What a waste of time coming here and whinging about the avoidable. Whinging on. Wasting your time. Wasting my time. Whinging about what is eminently avoidable, if only I will listen to experience. And it's only for this reason. You haven't had to sit and listen to me say, oh dear, I've done it again. I've put my relationship before my home group. I've done it again. 10 years ago, I was warned what would happen to me if I was to do such a thing, you see. And so you don't have to listen to me moan about the consequences of the avoidable. I simply work my program and my life continues to get better, you know. I had a choice, you see, because I've been around before. I knew I had a choice. I could become part of what I've always felt like the NA ghosts. Those people who wander in and out of meetings, which was my experience, wandering in and out of meetings, year in, year out, without change, without noticeable gratitude, without any, as the police call, visible means of support. Maybe hoping against hope, wishing against wish that things will someday get better. You know, I could be one of those people, and God bless me if I make that choice. No one's the right to judge me. It's my choice. But please, please, if that's your choice, stay away from the newcomer. Stay away from the newcomer. Let them at least have the opportunity to go for gold. Let them at least have the opportunity to hear the message without criticism. Let them at least have a chance to get recovery. I know from my own experience that when I decided to get sponsored, I decided to follow suggestions, I was sincerely discouraged. I was sincerely discouraged by many people in the rooms. It was suggested that I would be controlled. It was suggested that I could find recovery, as Marcus said, by waiting. By waiting and seeing, by relaxing, by chilling, I think is the word. But the young people, by chilling. As my sponsor says, if you hear that, if you're new and you hear that, I will translate for you. What it means is, I don't have time for you. I don't have time to waste on you today. Okay, that's what it really means. If somebody is telling you to take your time, don't need to do this, what they're telling you is, I don't have time for you. What I can say today with a clear conscience is, of course I have time for you, not because I'm a good person, not because I'm a good person, I'm just an average Joe, but of course I have time for you because I know that working with you vastly improves the quality of my life, vastly improves the quality of my life, thank you Mark. My life is one that I wouldn't swap with anyone today. I'm living my dreams. I have the things in my life that I've always dreamt about, but it's so important for me to say this. I've only got them as a result of putting others before myself. My sponsor told me at the very beginning that this solution was rooted in one concept, constant thought of others. And I've said before, honestly, just saying that phrase makes me tired. Constant thought of others? You know, constant thought of me, yes. Constant thought of me to the point of neurosis and distraction and misery, yeah. But constant thought of others seemed like an uphill climb. It seemed like a great struggle. But he showed me how to do it, you see, by example, by giving me an example that I could easily follow. He showed me how I could put constant thought of others at the centre of my life. And it's easy, I'll tell you. I'll tell you in a few minutes in the time that Mark lets me have. It's like this. You do this. You get to the meeting early, you see. This is what I did. I got to the meeting early. I put out chairs. This means I'm helping people I may never meet and will certainly never thank me. You know, I'm putting out chairs. I'm putting other people first by taking a position in the group. I'm putting other people first by doing phone service. I'm putting other people first when I share in a meeting a positive message of strength, hope and recovery. This is how I put other people first. You see, this is how a deeply self-centered person is able to put someone else first, by holding the hand out when they come into the room, even though I may be preoccupied, I may be thinking of my own selfish needs and wants. I need to go up and shake somebody's hand, look them straight in the eye and ask them how they are. In this way I can put other people first, without even having to think about it. As long as I'm following suggestions, everything that I need to do in order to recover is going to unfold for me. If I'm resisting suggestions and I make it a struggle, my experience is that I'm going to die. I'm going to die. See, it's never been for me to tell anyone in this room that they're going to die of this illness. I'll be honest with you, I don't know which one of you have the illness. How would I know? Only you know that. But one word of advice to finish with. If you identify with the things that that have been said tonight, and the things that will be said tonight, and you haven't yet made a decision, and if you suspect that you are an addict of my description, then for God's sake, understand how much trouble you're in. For God's sake, understand how much trouble you're in and do something, because sitting in the rooms was not part of the solution that I was offered. I was offered a program of action, and that's why we chose the name for this group. And thanks everyone for the wonderful shares that we've heard tonight, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, Julian.
Could you please keep your shares reasonably short so everyone has a chance to share? The meeting is now open.